All right, and let me mute everybody. Wait, let me just mute everyone. Okay. Okay, so tonight's Daf Yomi is sponsored by Malka Luzon, Leilui Nishmat of her father. I don't have his Hebrew name, but the learning is Leilui Nishmato. All right, we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Beis tonight, page Shabbos Daf 122a. Let's go. It's the last Daf in Perek called Kitve. All right, so this stuff we're addressing. Oh, you know what? There's another safer I need. Okay, give me 10 seconds. I got the safer. One second. Okay. Anyway, so we're discussing the topic of Amira La'akum. Amira La'akum is the prohibition against speaking to a goy, whether it's before Shabbos or during Shabbos, and asking the goy, the non-Jew, the Gentile, to do malacha for the Jew on Shabbos. So if you learned the Mishnah in yesterday's daf was Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. It said the first line of that Mishnah said, Nachri Shabbat L'Chabod in Omen Lo Kabeh. If a goy, the house is burning down, the Jew's house is burning down on Shabbos, if a goy shows up, he wants to douse out the fire, even though he's coming to douse out the fire, I, the Jew, should not say to him, you should douse out the fire, which is in essence, here the Mishnah is introducing the topic of Amir La'akum. So why is Amir La'akum prohibited? So here again, this is from by Simcha Bunim Koni, as another one of his books. So the Rishonim bring down three reasons why Amir La'akum is not allowed. So the first reason that's brought down by Rishonim is Shlotei, in other words, this is a din to Rabbanan. In other words, on a Torah level, you're not doing anything wrong by asking a non-Jew to do Malach on Shabbos. You're not mitzvah. In other words, if he's your Eved, then you're mitzvah on a Shvita. But if he's not your Eved, so you're not doing anything wrong on a Torah level. But on a rabbinic level, you are doing something wrong. So the first reason they give is Shlotei Shabbat Kala Be'enehem. Shabbos shouldn't be taken lightly. So here I'm quoting from the Rambam, and he has it here as well. This is the Rambam in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. Asur lamor la'goy la'asot lanu malacha b'Shabbat. A person is not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha for us, for the Jews, on Shabbos, af pishen mitzuva l'Shabbat, even though the goy is not commanded to keep Shabbos, but afapi shamar lo mikodem Shabbat. Even if the Jew says to him before Shabbos, on Shabbos, I want you to do A, B, and C, but afapi shenos tzarich lo tamalacha lachar Shabbat. And even though I really only need the malacha after Shabbos, but I'm asking to do it on Shabbos. But devar zasur mi divrei sofrim, deishlotei Shabbat kala b'nehem yavo lasot ba'atzman. Means if I tell a goy, put on the light, do this, do that. So then, like, Shabbos doesn't seem like it's so chashuv to me. And so then I eventually could come to do malach on Shabbos. That's the first reason we shown him bring down. Malka, you there, Malka? Malka? All right, anyway. All right, that's the first reason. Anyway, the second reason, Malka, can you hear me? Malka? Malka, can you hear me? All right, can't hear you yet, Malka. You got to unmute yourself. Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I can hear you. I'm just having problems with my internet, so I had to move.
Okay, anyway, so learning tonight is Leilui Neshama for your father, right?
Yes.
So learning, and what's his Hebrew name?
Nisim ben Sultana.
Okay, so it's Leilui Neshama for Nisim ben Sultana, Zichrono Levracha. Okay, so we're discussing Amir La'akum. We said that Amir La'akum is prohibited on a Rabbanan level, and we said Rishonim give three reasons for it. So we went through one reason, is Shlotei Shabbat Kala Be'neim. If Jews tell Goyim to do Malacha, so then it doesn't seem so chamor to the Jew, and eventually the Jew does the Malacha himself. Okay, the second reason, which is brought down, is the Daber Davor, that we know there's a prohibition against speaking on Shabbos in certain fashions, and so included in this is the way Rashi brings down a Masechet Avodah Zarah. He says, this is in Avodah Zarah, Daf Tet Vav Min Aleph, Rashi says, Umash Asur L'Yisrael Lomar Lo Veikhu Chavim Ha'aseh L'Kach Zeh Mishum Emsoh Chef Tzchav Daber Davar Dibur Isur. So Rashi learns this is part of the rabbinic prohibition of Dabir Davar. And then the third reason that the Rishonim bring down is works with the idea of Shlichus. In other words, the Goy becomes your Shliach. Now, even though there's no Shlichus for a Goy, technically, al pi halacha, but in this case, the Chacham said there is Shlichus for a Goy. So if I ask him to do the Malacha, then he's my Shliach, and then the Avera becomes my Avera. So again, this is in Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohen's book, so he brings down, let's say, on Shabbos, I can't ask to do Malacha. So they're not mutually exclusive. The halacha is incorporating all three of these reasons. So on Shabbos, I can't ask him to do it, then all three reasons apply. But even I can't ask him on Shabbos to do malacha for me after Shabbos. In other words, I say, I would like you to do malacha for me after Shabbos. That would be b'dabri davar. In other words, I want you on Shabbos. They say, I want you to mow my lawn tomorrow. So then that's not Shlichus' problem because he's not doing the malacha today. And it's not a problem, Shlichus Shabbos Kalabeneim, because I'm asking him to do the malacha tomorrow. But it is b'dabri davar. Then reason number two would apply. And then I can't ask a goy during the week to do malacha for me on Shabbos. Let's say Thursday, I say on Shabbos, I want you to put on the light for me. So then the first reason would apply, Shlichus Shabbos Kalabeneim, that so Shabbos will mean like insignificant to me, and the idea of Shlichus would also apply. Okay, so those are the reasons that Amir La'akum is prohibited on Shabbos. Okay, now let's just do the Mishnah, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the first Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, 122a, the first Mishnah, so Manitin, Nachri Shadlikat on air, Mishtamish Lo Ro Yisrael. Let's say a goy, now a ner, like in modern Hebrew, we used to always think a candle, and I was in Yeshiva Katan, a ner, a candle. So they teach you like, I don't know, 150 words you got to know, and ner is one of them, ner is candle. But ner really means a lamp. It was like you lit the lamp, it could be usually an oil lamp. So if the goy lights a lamp on Shabbos, so the Jew can use it. Bimbishvil Yisrael Asur. But if the goy lit the lamp for the Jew, then he's not allowed to do it. Let's say, you know, I'm in a dark room and the goy knows I want him to read and he puts the light on in the room. I'm not allowed to read by that light because the goy did the malacha, even though I didn't say anything to him, the goy did the malacha for me. He says, Mile Mayim Lahashkot. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that we don't know this yet, that by a ner, it's like ner la echa, ner la mea, the same candle that works for one, or we'll see in a minute. Now, he says, Mile Mayim Lahashkot Behemto. Let's say the goy, he drew water. Let's say there's a bore in the Rishus HaRabim. There's a pit in the Rishus HaRabim. So the pit has a din of Rishus HaYachid. So if you transfer the water, you're drawing the water from the well, from the pit, you're doing Hotzah on Shabbos. So the goy took the water out of the well, out of the pit on Shabbos. He did Hotzah. He says, so Mile Mayim Lahashkot Behemto. He filled like a large bucket or whatever with water because the goy wanted to give water to his own animals. Mashkech Rab Yisrael. So afterwards, the Jew could use that water because the goy did the malacha for himself. Just like the candle. So the goy lit the candle because he wants to read so that I could use it. And if the goy, you know, pulls the water because he wants to use the water, then I could use it. He says, V'im b'shvil Yisrael asur. But if he did it for the Jew, that's prohibited. And now the third case, if the goy made a gangplank to descend off a boat came to port on Shabbos, and the goy builds a gangplank, and he wants to descend from the boat. So he says, Yoreda Acharav Yisrael. So the Jew can also go down, because the goy built the gangplank for himself. Be'im b'shvil Yisrael asur. But if he did it for the Jew, then it's prohibited. Then the Mishnah says, Ma'aseh Rabbi Gamliel's Kenim Shubayim B'sfina. It was an incident of Rabbi Gamliel's Kenim. They were traveling by boat. Ba'asan Nachri Kevish Le'Redbo. The goy made a gangplank to descend off the boat. Yardubo Rabbi Gamliel's Kenim. Rabbi Gamliel's Kenim descended off the boat. It means that the boat came to port on Shabbos. Now, to leave a boat on Shabbos is a halachic problem, which Daf Yomi people may remember. It's a din in Tchum Shabbos. If the boat is out at sea, so that's when Shabbos begins, that's your Tchum. Then it comes into port. You're not allowed to disembark from a boat. You know, you're stuck on a boat. It's, you know, I remember in there's a book, which is it? All for the Boss, right. All for the Boss by Ruchama Shane. So she describes her father, what's his name? So she describes her father, and in the book she describes how she and her husband went to study in Europe in the 1930s. And there was a husband who went to study in Yeshiva in the 1930s. There weren't a lot of Americans that did that, but there were, I'd say, a few hundred Americans that, you know, in the 20s and 30s went back to Europe to study in the yeshivas there. One famous example is Rav Mordechai Gifter. He I think, was from Virginia. He studied at Yeshiva Yitzchak Chanan for a year, and then he went to the Telzer Yeshiva in Europe. But there were other people who did that as well. So anyway, in the boat, she describes how they took like an ocean liner, and it came to port, I think, I don't know, maybe in Germany, whatever, but it came to port on Shabbos, and they were the only ones that were staying on the boat because of Tchum Shabbos, and everybody else was disembarking. And it's not, you know, it's very uncomfortable. But anyway, but if the boat is within 2,000 amot of the port when Shabbos begins, then you can disembark. Then you're okay. So that's that we have to see the case here. So where Gamaliel's came in, when Shabbos began, they were within 2,000 amot of the port, and then they came to the port on Shabbos. Now, let's just see for a minute. Let me just see. Okay, so the main idea is in the Mishnah. So again, so just to repeat, so we learned the din of Amira La'akum. You're not allowed, it's a little bit contrary. Sometimes people, you know, maybe with not so much knowledge, think that asking a goy to do malach on Shabbos is fine. It's just punfakir, it's just the opposite. You're not allowed to ask a goy to do malach for you on Shabbos. And even if the goy does malach for you, but his intent is to do the malach for the Jew cannot benefit from it. So and we gave three reasons for it, right? And the three reasons were Shlotei Shabbos, the reason the Chazal enacted it, Shlotei Shabbos Kal Beinayim, that Shabbos shouldn't seem insignificant in the eyes of Jews and they'll come to do Malacha, or the idea of Dabir Davar, it's included in the prohibition of not speaking on Shabbos like you do during the week, or it's Din Shlichus, like the Goy is your messenger, and even though there's no Shlichus to a Goy, here the Chum said where it's like it is the Shlichus, so Mela, that's prohibited. So the Mishnah gave three examples of Amir La'akum, and the Gemara will discuss why we need these three examples. But the first example is if the Goy lit a candle, but he lit it for himself. The idea is if he does it for himself, it's okay. So he lit a candle for himself so the Jew could benefit from it. If he does it for the Jew, then it's not. Second example, he drew water from the pit on Shabbos. If he does it for himself, it's fine. And then if he does it for the Jew, it's not good. And then the third example is the Goy built a gangplank for himself, and then the Jew could benefit from it. But if he built a gangplank for the Jew, then he can't benefit from it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we learned so far?
I do. If we have a lunch in the shul on Shabbos, and all the help are not Jewish, why is that allowed?
Well, what are they doing?
They're serving food, they're cleaning up the kitchen, and they're working.
If
they're vacuuming.
Yeah. Okay, no, well, all right, let's take one at a time. So if they're not doing a malacha for you, they're serving food, they're not doing anything that the Jew himself couldn't do, could not do. So then that's fine. And the goy is allowed to work for you on Shabbos. That's not a problem.
And I thought this Mishnah we just read said you can't ask a goy to do something for you.
Yeah, again,
did I miss something?
You did miss something. Okay, let's not use the term work the way they use it in the secular world. Let's focus on halachic, you know, parameters. We're talking about malacha. We know what the lamentet malachot are, right? And we know that there are isurim on Shabbos. So I can't ask the goy to do anything for me that I cannot do myself. But I could serve the food. I can ask the goy to serve the food. And I
How about turning lights on?
Absolutely not. Now, again, Rome wasn't built in a day, Robert. There are a lot of dealing with this. Sometimes if it's shvut to shvut, b'mako mitzvah, if you have two drabanans and it's a mako mitzvah, then you can come into a heter. So sometimes with a shul, let's say all the lights are off in the shul, the people have no place to pray that Shabbos unless the lights are put on. So then you have kulas, you know, to ask the goy to put the light on or to hint at it. But but generally speaking, you shouldn't be asking the goy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Okay.
But don't they have a routine? I mean, they definitely close the lights. They vacuum.
No. In our shul, I don't think they vacuum on Shabbos.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
They do.
No, they vacuum after Shabbos is over.
No. They vacuum on Shabbat.
Well, anyway, even if they do it, in other words, if we ask them to clean up, and they could sweep it up, but it's easier for them to vacuum, so they're doing it to make it easier for themselves. But there is a way for them to do it without being Michal Shabbos. I'm not aware of them actually vacuuming up on Shabbos, though.
I've seen them.
I have not. But anyway, but if that is the case, but if there's a way to do it like licitly, and then they vacuum, so then that's their own cheshbon doing it that way. And in terms of lights are supposed to be on clocks. They're not supposed to put the lights on for us. But that's the way we're going with this. Okay,
What does Rabbi Gamliel's story add?
All right, well, the Gemara is going to ask that question, so let's just be patient, okay? All right, let's get to the Gemara. All right, now, so the and you could ask what does the story about the water add on, right? Maybe just one case we need in the Mishnah, just about the candle. If you could just have the goy light the candle, you're okay. So, what, you can't hear you? What?
Mike, you have to unmute yourself.
Michael
disappeared.
All right, I don't know. Maybe he's got a call or something like that. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so the Gemara says, Okay, Michael, what's
up? What did you say, Mike? Nobody heard you.
I came late. I didn't hear the water.
Okay. All right. The first case is the lamp case. Okay, and then the water, and then the gangplank. Okay, so the Gemara says Utsricha. The Gemara says it's necessary for the Tana of the Mishnah to teach me all three cases in the Mishnah. He says, if the Tana have only taught me the case of the candle, the first case was where a goy lights a lamp, not a candle, a goy lights a lamp, so if he lit it for himself, the Jew can benefit from the light. He says, Mishum Dener Le'echa Ner Le'mea. I would have reason, the reason the Jew can benefit from the light is because the same candle that helps one person helps another person. In other words, it could be one candle be for one person, one could be for 100 people. There's no chashash, there's no concern that the goy in any way is doing more for the Jew. In other words, he lights the candle and then the lamp, and then that's the lamp. It's done, and he needed the lamp.
Oh, so
that's
San it. Francisco Giants!
Okay, somebody, okay, so you have to mute yourself, Robert. Okay, let me just mute him. Okay. Okay, if you remember, Robert, you need to mute yourself. I'm muting yourself. You unmuted yourself. Okay, now you're muted. Okay, now he says, "Aval mayim ligzor dima atila pushe b'shul Yisrael." But when it comes to the water, I would have thought, in other words, if the Tana would only teach me the case of the Nair, I would have thought the water case is not permissible. I would have thought that there's a concern that the goy will draw more water than he needs for himself to help the Jew out. That's what I would have thought. In other words, water, he could take, you know, a gallon of water. He could take 5 gallons of water. So I would have thought maybe there I have to be concerned that the goy is pulling out more water for the Jew. He says, Bekevish Lamali. So the Gemara says, why do we need the third case with the gangplank that's being built? So Masa Deregam Leo is Kanim Kamashwalan. So the truth is that case isn't adding anything on per se, because like Rashi brings down Kevish Echad, Kevish Lameya, the same ramp that's for one person is good for 100 people. But he just wants to tell me the story about Rabbi Gamaliel and Zakanim, which illustrates what he's speaking about. All right. Now,
Can I ask a question on the Mishnah you didn't get to me? I just wanted to know, when you talk about the water case, is it for the Jew to drink water or for the Jew's animals to drink water?
It's either way. In this case, it's presumably for the animal, but it wouldn't make a difference one way or another. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the Gemara is going to, you know, tease out that if the goy knows the Jew and he, you know, then I do have to be concerned that he's drawing more water for him. So we'll see how this plays out. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Nachrish Liketa Sabim Ma'achilach Rav Yisrael. If a goy collected grass on Shabbos, and the grass, I assume, is attached to the ground, and he detaches the grass for his animals, and so the Jew, after the goy is done feeding his animals, the Jew can give his animal to feed from that grass. He says, "V'im b'shvil Yisrael asur." But if the goy detached the grass to help the Jew out, then that's prohibited. He says, "Mile mayim lashkot behemto." If he filled water to give to his behema, to give to his animal, the goy did, that is, he says, "Mashkach Rab Yisrael." So the Jew can take the excess water, leftover water, and give it to his animal. "V'im b'shvil Yisrael asur." But if he did it for the Jew, then it's prohibited. Now there's an important caveat that the Braisa adds, She'ein Makiro. That's, we're talking about the goy doesn't know the Jew from Adam. I don't know this guy. I don't know him. He's nothing to me. He says, Aval Makiro Asur. But if he knows, if the goy, Ivan the goy, knows Chaim the Jew, then it's prohibited. And we'll see. We'll see. Now, so then I have to be concerned that he's doing malacha for the Jew, but we'll have to clarify, okay? So the Gemara says, "Ini, is this true?" Amar Rav Huna said, "Amar Rabbi Chanina, ma'amid adam behemto al gabi asabim b'shabbat." Rabbi Chanina taught that a person could lead his behema on top of asabim and Shabbos. Means that, again, on Shabbos, I'm mitzuva on shvita my behema. I'm mitzuva. Let me just get the window open one second. All right, so on Shabbos, I'm mitzuva that my animal doesn't do malacha on Shabbos. So I can't have my animal plow on Shabbos. And that's a din Torah. That's not a din Rabbanan. I can't have my animal do any malacha for me on Shabbos. But notwithstanding that, the Bryce is teaching me I could bring my behemoth in a place to a pasture where the animal will nosh on the grass. And even though the animal will be doing malacha by, you know, cutting off the grass, that's permissible. And let's look at Tosfos. Look at Tosfos, three lines from the bottom in Tosfos. So Tosfos says, so like we have the drasha, the Mechilton is usually our Masechta. He says, "Lamani Nuach Shurachava Chamorecha." I don't know if he means the Mechilta here or Mechilton. Mechilton would be an our Masechta. Mechilton would be the Medrash. Since he says Mechilton, I assume he means an our Masechta. "Lamani Nuach Shurachava Chamorecha Begomer." So the Torah says that your ox and chamor should rest on Shabbos. So I might have thought I can't leave my animal where the animal is going to pull things up from the ground. So he says, Tamalomar Lamani Nuach, Ainza Noach Alitzar, Rabbeinu Tam, meaning for the animal not to be able to be able to do that on Shabbos, the animal is in a state of distress. In other words, if your cow can't nosh on Shabbos, so the animal is in a state of stress. And the Torah says, Lamani Nuach. So anyway, Naniach, that Chazal of Adrasha, that you're allowed to lead an animal where if the animal, he or she, the animal, is going to, you know, nosh on the food. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, "Ma'amina dam behem tol gabi samish shabbat, avolo al gabi muksa b'shabbat." But I can't leave the animal over muksa. Muksa is, you know, we've had muksa before. We're going to have more muksa now. We had in Parakiru, we had a couple of dapim of muksa, and now the next parak is going to deal more with muksa. So if grass is ripped out on Shabbos, even by the goy, that's muksa, because before Shabbos it wasn't in the getter of animal food. Now it is. So that's muksa. So the Gemara is asking, how is it that the Tana of the Braisa says the goy pulls out grass on Shabbos and then he feeds his animal, that the Jew then can, you know, let his, you know, animal go and eat the muksa? He says, "Avalo al gabi muksa b'Shabbos." I can't leave my animal to the muksa on Shabbos. And here the concern is that the Jew may come to lift up the muksa. In other words, if I lead my animal on top of the muksa, I say, "Here, Fido," or whatever, you know, have some nice grass, you know, the goy, you know, cut some grass for you, whatever. Anyway, so the, or cut some grass, which you can enjoy. So you have a Shabbos treat. so how do I reconcile those two statements? Here, Rabbi Chanina taught that I'm not allowed to have the behemoth on top of the muksa, and the Braisa earlier said that I could, you know, ma'achilach Rabbi Yisrael. So the kaimla ba'apa ba'azlahiva achlo. So the Gemara says all Rabbi Chanina meant is that not Rabbi Chanina, what the Braisa rather said is the Braisa doesn't mean that the animal will be that I'm going to leave the animal directly on top of the grass. Let's say there's a large space, and I'm going to block my animal from leaving that space. Not that I'm near the grass per se, so I'm not going to come to lift up the grass, and the animal will get the idea to walk over to the grass and nosh on the grass. That's how you get out of the muksa issue. Okay? Now,
can you repeat that answer again?
Yeah, again, so we learned in one statement that I'm not allowed to have my animal on muksa on Shabbos where it's going to eat the muksa because I may come to lift up the muksa and give it to the animal. That's the prohibition. That's what Rabbi Chanina said. But the Braisa a few lines earlier said that, where is it? He says, Nachri Shali Keda Sabim Ma'achilach Rabbi Yisrael. The Braisa says the goy collected grass on Shabbos so the Jew could feed his animal on Shabbos from the grass. So how do I reconcile those two statements? Rabbi Chanina is not a Tana, but he's presumably not going after the Braisa. So the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Chanina is saying, I can't have my animal on the grass, then I can pick up the grass and give it to the animal. But if the animal, in other words, I'm a distance away from the grass, but I don't let my animal leave that area, and so I'm in effect encouraging him to eat the grass that the goy left, that's permissible. It was, I'm 20 feet away from the grass, and the cow will get the idea to go eat the grass. Okay, so now let's see back in the Gemara. Now, Amar Mar, earlier we quoted the statement in the Braisa, B'mezvarum she'in makiro. We said that the Jew is only able to benefit from the malacha that the goy did if the goy doesn't know the Jew. He doesn't know him. Ava makiro asur. He said, but if the goy knows the Jew, then all bets are off. Then it's prohibited. And meaning that presumably he's doing it with the Jew in mind. That would be, and then that's the kiss of death. So we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, HaRabbi Gamliel Makiru Hava, but in the instance that the Mishnah had recorded, you know, with Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel knew the person that made the gangplank, and let's take a look at the Rashi on this. Where is it? Makiro Hava, Sharebis Finaya Baimo. In other words, the person who built the gangplank was traveling him, so presumably they knew one another. And so how would that work? So Amar, back in the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Shlobafanav Hava. Abaye says that Rabbi Gamliel wasn't present when the Goy built the gangplank, so there's no reason for us to assume that he was building the gangplank for Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, the Goy also presumably wanted to leave the boat, and Rabbi Gamliel is not part of the equation. That's the way that Abaye is learning. Rava Amar, Afilutim Bafanav. Rava said, I could even say that Rabbi Gamliel was in the presence of the Goy, but it's like no harm, no foul. Why? Again, this I mentioned earlier, Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'mea, that if like the same Ner, the same lamp that gives light for one person gives light for 100 people. So the same gangplank, which is good for one passenger, the Goy, is good for all the passengers. So there's no extra malacha that the Goy is doing by building the gangplank, because he's building the gangplank for himself and then afterwards of the other people. So even though Rabbi Gamliel's there, and maybe he realizes that they'll use it, but he wants it for himself. But he's not doing any extra malacha for Rabbi Gamliel. What's up, Fern?
But what about the items with the quantity, like the
all
water?
All right, we'll see. Let's all relax. Remember, we've been through this so many times before. You got to wait till the end of the sugi. You got to wait till we do everything. That, and even then, you know, if you're in yeshiva, I'd say, let's go over and let's do all the Rishonim, and then we can ask him. Okay, but let's at least wait till we get through the sugi, okay? So the Gemara says, okay, so again, just to summarize, we have a machloket between Abaye and Rava about Makiro. So the Mishnah says that the Goy can't know the Jew. So Abaye says that he could know it if the Jew's not present, that I don't have to worry about it, he's not physically present. And Rava says, even if he's physically present, but Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'mea. So Meitvei, so in this we ask a question now this question is going to be against Rava. Rava said that it's Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'mea. So Meitvei, Amar, this is a brisa, this is from Tosefta and Armasechta. Meitvei, Amar Lehen Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said to the Zkenim, this is like continuing on the description of the incident with Rabbi Gamliel and Zkenim. Amar Lehen Rabbi Gamliel, so here in the Brisa, and again, by Barabbah or Marayim, they're not going to argue in a Brisa. In the Brisa, it's describing Rabbi Gamliel's reasoning. And Rabbi Gamliel says to Zkenim, since he made it, he the Goy built the gangplank, not in our presence, he did it for himself. That sounds like on all fours, like a Baye, and not like Rava. Rava said, even if he did it in our presence, but it's Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'mea. So, Ema, Holva, Asa'o, Neiredbo. So, the Gemara says, to answer for Rava, that really, that the main point that Rabbi Gamliel was making is Holva, Asa'o. In other words, the Goy built it, he built it for himself, and it's Ner Le'echa, or Kevish Echad, Kevish Le'echa, Kevish Le'mea. The fact that he said, the Shlobafanov, that was irrelevant to his ruling. That's basically what he's saying. In other words, so that was like a red herring, according to Rava. The main thing is that the Goy built it for himself. Okay, now, Tashma, now we're asking a question against both Abaye and Rava. So Tashma, Irshi Yisrael v'nachrim darim b'tocha. Let's say you have a city that's inhabited by Jews and non-Jews. There's a bath, a public bath that's open on Shabbos. Now the key here isn't so much that it's open on Shabbos, but that the Goyim are heating up the water on Shabbos, and the Jews want to use it on Motzei Shabbat. So so we have a city where you have Jewish customers and non-Jewish customers. In other words, so Jews and non-Jews are going to use the bathhouse on Motzei Shabbat, and they're heating up the water on Shabbat. So let's take a look. Imrov nochrim mutar lacharts b'miyad. So the Tana of the Brisa says, if most of the people who are going to be using the bathhouse on Motzei Shabbat are non-Jews, then the Jew can use the water right away. In other words, again, there's a halacha. All right, let's take a look. He says, Imrov Yisrael, but if most of the people who are going to be using the bathhouse on Motzei Shabbat are Jews, yamtin b'cheshi yichamu chamin, then you have to wait an amount of time that the Goy would heat up the water. So let's say it takes an hour to heat up the water, and Shabbos is over at 6 o'clock, the Jew shouldn't go to the bathhouse till 7 o'clock. In other words, it's like din by Masi Shabbos. In other words, where you're not allowed to do with Jew is always prohibited from doing malach on Shabbos, but that's the way he's saying. Now, so this is a question against both Abaye and Rava. Now, according to Abaye, if the goy heats up the water, and the Jew is not there, so then I assume he's heating up for the goyim. Then there's no problem. There should not be a problem. In other words, the problem is in Rov Yisrael. Let's say most of the people. Let's focus on that case. So 100 people are going to use the bath on Motzei Shabbat. 90 of them are Jews. 10 are non-Jews. So the Mishnah says the Jews have to wait Bechdei Sheichamu. They have to wait like Bechdei Sheyaseh. So according to Abaye, has anything wrong taken place here? In other words, the goy, he heated up the water, but the Jew was not present. And according to Abaye, I should have a green light to benefit from that malacha. And according to Rava, again, the same amount of work to heat up the bathhouse, even if one goy uses it, is the same amount to heat up for everybody. So this shouldn't be a problem that way either. So the question is, why does the Braisa teach me that I have this you know, sort of type of knas that I have to wait for Chdei Sheichamu, when Lechora there's no problem with the Jews benefiting from the heated water if everything we said was correct? So the Gemara says, Hatam ki mechamamei adaita d'ruba mechamamei. So the Gemara says that when people heat up a bathhouse, so it's different than the gangplank, right? Like here, it's like a professional person. A gangplank, I'm an individual goy, I want to use it, and then the Jew also wants to use it. Here, I'm like running a business. I'm heating up the water. My intent, let's say I'm the bathhouse owner. My intent is I'm heating it up for my majority customer. My majority customer, in this case, are the Jews. And so that's the way we do it. So since I'm heating it up for the Jews, so then even according to Bai, even according to Rava, I'm going to run into a problem. All right, now let's just do one more question and then we'll go on. So Tashma, this is a question against Rava. Rava had said that it's if the goy does it for himself, I'm okay. In other words, near lecha, near lemeya. Tashma, near had to look b'masiba. Let's say a candle was lit at a social gathering, like I'll say a catering hall. We'll say like a professional catering hall, and there's a lamp that was lit on Shabbos. Im rov nachrim mutar l'shtamesh l'ora. If most of the people present are goyim, so the Jew can benefit from the light. Im rov Yisrael asur. If most of the people, this is similar to the bathhouse case. If most of the people present are Jews, you're not allowed to benefit from the light. Mechsa al mechsa, it's exactly 50-50. 100 people present, 50 Jews, 50 non-Jews, asur. So it's prohibited. Now, All right. So the Gemara says, Hatam nami ki madlake, turn page, adaita deruba madlake. So there also, when the goyim light it up, they light it up with intent for the rov. In other words, that's what their intent is. And the 50-50, we're not sure, so we're going to be machmir with that. All right, now let me finish this Gemara, and then I'll come to you, Fern, okay? So the Gemara says, Shmuel ikla lebe Abin Toran. Shmuel came to the house of Abin Toran, is the name of a place. Atahu nachri adlik shraga. So a certain goy came and lit a lamp. Ahadrinu Shmuel la'ape. Shmuel turned away from it. He didn't want to benefit from that light. He didn't want. And so he says here in the footnotes that more than half the people present were Jews. So he thought that the goy is like lighting it for the Jews. He says, came in the chaz of the IT star of a kakari. Once he saw that the goy who lit the lamp took out a document and read to light that lamp, Amar Adaita Danafshe Hu Da'adlik. He said, I see the goy lit it for himself. In other words, he lit it for himself. Adrinu Iu La'ape Gabishraga. So then Shmuel, he didn't mind using it. In other words, what's clear, it's absolutely clear that the goy lit it for his own usage. So then you have the heter. Okay, now, I'm not done yet with this, but let me get to Fern. So Fern, you had asked the question about the water case, right? So with the water, so in Achinami, if the goy knows the Jew, so then post can bring down that you have to be concerned that he did take out more water for the Jew. And then he can't use the water. In other words, that's the only case you could use. You only use the water. He doesn't know you from Adam. But if there's a concern that he drew more water for the Jew, then it's like Mar B'Shiurim, which we've had in other situations. What's up? I can't hear you.
So both Rava and Abaye would agree that if he knows me.
Right. That's okay. The Brisa says it like that. So they're both going to agree with the Brisa. Okay, now let me just do a little bit more, one more piece, and then we'll wrap it up. We'll take some questions. Now, one second. All right. All right. So, okay, now we did the thing with the gangplank. Now, the Ramban asserts that with the gangplank, if the Goy built the gangplank on Shabbos, so we said the Jews can use the gangplank. According to Abaye, it means that Rabbi Gamliel wasn't present. But according to Rava, even if Rabbi Gamliel was present, because, you know, Kevish Le'echad, Kevish Le'mei, the same gangplank for one is for 100. Now, he quotes here, this is from the Al Adat by Rabbi Zev Dickstein, the Ramban asserts if the wood used for the gangplank was cut from a tree on Shabbos, then the wood is muksa, and Yisrael may not move the gangplank. So he's getting into like making more of a subfacial examination. If the Goy chopped down a tree to build the gangplank, so the wood is muksa. You can't get out of the muksa issue. So the Jew can't move it. Despite the fact that it's muksa, however, one may walk on it because benefiting from muksa without moving it with one's hands is permitted. The Magen Avraham rules likewise that one may sit on a stone which has not been previously designated for use, provided he does not move it. In other words, let's say I have a stone. So stones are muksa on Shabbos. They're not a ma'akal, they're not kalim, they're muksa. So can I sit on a stone? So the Magen Avraham wants to say that I could. He says, even though the stone is muksa, he permits sitting on it because using muksa without moving it is permitted, as the Ramban says. Now he quotes Rabbi Akiva Eger, citing a Rashba above on Chavtet, Daf Chavtet, takes issue with the Magen Avraham's ruling. The Rashba says that although it is permitted to merely touch a muksa item without moving it, it's permitted to use and derive pleasure from a muksa item on Shabbos. So everybody agrees I can't move a muksa item. Everybody agrees I could touch a muksa item. But the question is, can I sit and derive pleasure from a muksa item? So the Rabbi Akiva Eger is no. According to Rabbi Akiva Eger, he prohibits sitting on a stone that is muksa. So, people would be surprised. Let's say you have, I don't know, you're a camp and there's a big stone. So it's not so pashut that you're allowed to sit on that stone. According to some poskim, you could. According to other poskim, not. And that's assuming that the stone would not move on Shabbos. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Rashba, we are compelled to explain that the Gentile had constructed a gangplank from wood that was detached before Shabbos was not muksa. So according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, if the Goy cut down a tree and he built the gangplank, the Jew is not allowed to descend the gangplank on Shabbos because he's getting benefit from a muksa item, even if the gangplank's not moving. I kind of wonder, like, a lot of gangplanks, like you step on it, like they come, it kind of moves a little bit, like it, like, you know, bends a little bit. That would be more problematic. But the way out of it is to say that he took it from wood that was detached before Shabbos and wasn't muksa. That's it with that. Now, with Amir La'akum, it is a very big topic. And again, we're just touching a little bit on it here on Shabbos, but you get the basic ideas. Now, an issue is also, like he quotes here about getting positive benefit or indirect benefit. Like, for example, let's say a light was left on in a bedroom and the people can't sleep. A non-Jew can be apprised of the problem and is permitted to switch off the light. In other words, where he's turning off the light, I'm not going to benefit, like, positively from the malacha. In other words, like the absence of light. He says, removal of an annoyance such as a troublesome light or noise is merely kind of benefit by default. It is not the same as the introduction of a new and direct benefit. It's therefore permitted, provided the non-Jew was not asked to do the malacha. Anyway, lots of other dealing with that. And then again, so I think a lot of people are under a misapprehension of halacha. You know, like they always talk about Shabbos goyim helping Jews, but that's really not allowed on Shabbos unless, again, if it's a makom mitzvah, like I said, let's say you have, he's got, if you get this book, you read it, you'll be an expert on it all, you know, this by Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohn. Let me see what he's got here, some examples, one second, not being a shmashod, one second. Not that. One second. Let me take a look. Give me 1 second. 1 second. Let me see a shul. This here. Here. Okay, here. 102 here. Okay, so he says like this. He says like this, I'm quoting from the book. He says, in shuls, situations of mirror la'akum commonly arise in regard to lighting, heating, air conditioning. A shul should have time clocks installed to control these functions of Shabbos and should not initially rely on a Gentile for this purpose. Nevertheless, if the clock malfunctioned, it is permissible to tell a goy to turn on the lights, the heat, or the air conditioning in a case of extreme discomfort. In other words, he wants to say like he's figuring that it's like it could lead to to choli, like if it's not taken care of. Now he has, let me see where he has. All right. Anyway, all right. That's it with Amir Lakum. Okay, now Hadron Lach,
let me get the AC was on or off?
Say again what?
The last thing you said, the AC was on or off?
No, it means if the air conditioning was off, but it's going to lead to people like
hot.
Right. Exactly. That's what he's thinking, where it'll be too hot and like Rahman al-Islam, people, I'm not a medical doctor, but if a person has other issues, with breathing, then and it's 90 degrees, 95 degrees and humid. So we have a doctor here who can help us out. I think it is more likely to have a heart attack if you have other issues and then it's 95 degrees and humid. Michael, is that right or wrong? If I can't hear you.
He doesn't know. What about the other way around?
I don't know.
You don't know? Is that right? I thought of a person, let's say a person has a heart condition. And it's,
now you're talking about someone with coronary artery disease.
Right. And now, but he's still able to come to shul and then he has the heat. Isn't that like an added aggravating factor that could all right.
Possibly.
All right, Dr. Frank, thank you. Thank you. All right.
What about the other way around? What if the air conditioning is on, it's too cold? Is it,
yeah,
is
I
it
think,
a theory
I th- I th-
that
I think,
we're not benefiting from
no,
it?
No. Well, there you have that cooler, but I think either way, I think you, for a shul I'm talking about, I think you'd have a cooler. Now for a house, I'd have to look into it a little bit more. Okay, Belinda, I'll get back to you more tomorrow.
Wait, can I just ask a question?
Sure.
So I don't have help on Shabbat, but sometimes when Yom Tov falls during the week, the woman who helps me comes and she'll wash dishes. And so does that mean that she's allowed to put on the dishwasher? Because
so,
if she's already washing dishes?
That's. Let me look. It's
the same thing with the vacuum, just like you can wash it.
Let me look into that. Let me look into that. And get back to you, Malka. Get back to you with that. Okay. All right. Now let's see back. Hadralakul Kitvei. Okay. Now let's do the next Mishnah. And we got to wrap up the Perek shortly. Okay. So we're back to our Dina Mamuksa. So the Mishnah says, "Kol Akilim Nital B'Shabbat V'Daltateini Mahen." Af pishin parku she'inan domin ledotot habayit lefi she'inan minamuchan. Let's say, like he's talking about, I have Rashi says a shita tevo migdal, like a trunk, a carriage, a closet, and they have doors. So if the doors become detached on Shabbos, those doors are not muksa, because they're grandfathered in with the keli. And I was going into Shabbos. Let's say I have. Like it means like a lid, something like that. In other words, like the door, I could use it as a lid. In other words, my kavana is to use it that way on Shabbos. And if they come detached, so I still, my thought was going to Shabbos that I still want to be able to use those doors as part of the keli. He says, l'pishin amuchana, but if it's dal tora bayit, let's say the door of my house would become detached, Rachman al Thon, on Shabbos, so that would be muksa, because my intent is not to use it as a keli, and now I that's muksa, the seinu min amuchan. All right, now, he says, no tel dam kurda safatzei boda gozim. A person could take a hammer to break open nuts on Shabbos, kardom, and each one is the same idea, kardom lach tochbo et hadvela. He could take, how does he translate kardom? He says a hatchet. He says, "Kardom lach tokbotavet, to cut the fig cake. Megera asur lagur barakvina, to cut cheese. I could take a saw to cut cheese." In other words, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is, which we've had before, if it's kli shemalachto the Easter, that's one type of muksa. In other words, a kli that's normally used for a prohibited item, but that, I told you, is the most lenient form of muksa, so it's permissible for tzorach gufo makomo. Tzorach gufo is I want to use the chefza for a permissible purpose. So that I'm allowed to do. So I have these things. Let's say I use a saw. It doesn't sound like the most healthy thing. I usually use a saw to cut wood, which would be like prohibited malacha, the bone on Shabbos. I want to use the saw to cut cheese. I can cut the cheese. He says, magrefa, which is like a type of shovel, the grof but a grogrod. I could use it to shovel up the dried figs. And harachat, the rachat is like this winnowing shovel. How does he explain it here? The winnowing shovel. He says, Veda malgez. Malgez we saw is like a variation of mazleg. It's like the type of pitchfork. Latena lab la katan. I want to use each one of those cannons to extend food to a katan. In the article, they said that like he's on one side of the river, I'm on the other side of the river, I'm going to extend it using the kalia. He says, and hakush veda karkar lithovbo. He says, I'm using the spindle or the weaver's reed to spear fruit with it, stick it through the fruit. Machat shalyad litobara coats. I want to use like, macha is like really a pin. He translates as, I think, a needle. I want to remove a splinter with it. In other words, you normally use it for sewing, but I want to take a splinter out. Bishal sakayim, I have the needle used to make baskets, a bigger needle. Liftoak boadadel, I don't want to pick a lock. I got locked out of my house on Shabbos, so I can use it for. So the idea is, even though the kli is normally used in a prohibited fashion, I have a green light to use the kli in a permissible fashion. Okay. Any questions on the Mishnah? Okay, let's go on now. The Gemara says, "Kulakin nitalin afapi biafapi shinit parku b'shabbat." Now, if you saw in the Mishnah, the word b'shabbat was in parentheses, and Rashi does not have the word b'shabbat in the Mishnah. But the way the Gemara understands it is that I could, in other words, let's say I have something like a closet, and the doors come out on Shabbos. They were, you know, detached from the closet on Shabbos. I could still use those doors. So the Gemara says, even though we're attached on Shabbos, so the implication is, even though they had, you know, become distant, unconnected on Shabbos, he says, and certainly on Chol. So the Gemara says, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, adraba punk fakared, b'shabbat muchanin al gabei avien. In other words, if they were going into Shabbos, I have a keli, and the keli includes, let's say, a closet, and the keli includes the doors of the closet. So those doors, they were like demuxed going into Shabbos. He says, but the doors, if the doors are detached before Shabbos, unless I had specific kavana to use those doors on Shabbos, they would be muxed. So it's not more one way. In other words, it's more, the big chiddush is not that they became detached on Shabbos. The big chiddush would be that they became detached on Chol. So Amar Abai Hachi Kamar. So Abai says, this is what the Mishnah means. Kol kilim nitalin b'Shabbat, or he says that all kalim can be carried on Shabbos and their doors, even if they became, I mean, the Mishnah means even if they became detached during the week, but the doors can be used on Shabbos. So that's the bigger chiddush. If the doors are detached during the week, that's a bigger chiddush that they're not muksa. Presumably the person has in mind, like the doors, you know, to use them, like, you know, like a lid, things like that. Okay, now, okay, Tan Rabbanan.
Can we question one more time? I missed the question.
Yeah, so the Gemara thought that the Mishnah, the question is, which is the simpler case, which is the more complicated case? So the Gemara thought that the Mishnah is saying that even if the handles became detached on Shabbos, you can use, or the lids, the covering, the doors became detached on Shabbos, they're not muksa. And certainly if they became detached during the week. So the Gemara says that's punk for care. The logic doesn't make it that way. It's more logical. In other words, the bigger chiddush is that if they were detached during the week, I could use it on Shabbos. And certainly like if they became detached on Shabbos, because if they're detached during the week, then I have to have kavana to use those things on Shabbos. If they were attached at the beginning of Shabbos and now they became detached during Shabbos, so my mind going to Shabbos is to have this thing and the door and the lid. Okay. I mean, I would think of it more like the easier case to my way of thinking. Let's say you have a pot with a lid that's attached to the pot. And now on Shabbos, the lid becomes detached from the pot. So the idea is, in a word, or let's say it became detached during the week. So in terms of the weeks, I had in mind for it. But even if it came to Shabbos, So if it came detached on Shabbos, certainly I could use the lid. But it came detached during the week. I can use the lid. Okay, now Tanur Rabbanan, Delet Shalshida B'Shalteva Shalmigdal, Notlin of Alamagzirin. So the Brisa says if a door. And he says, I think a carriage, a trunk, and a closet is the way they translate it. So I can take it on Shabbos, but I can't put it back. So notlin means that I can remove it from its socket on Shabbos, but I can't reinsert it. In other words, like it's like a detachable door. So I can detach the door on Shabbos, but I can't put it back. That's what we think. Mishalul shel tarnagolim, but if it's from a chicken coop. He says, "Lo notlin, lo machzirin." I can't remove it, and I can't restore it. So the Gemara says, "B'shlemin lul shel tarnagolim sabar kimin de mechabre ba'ara yeshbinin bekarka yeshtiru bekarka." So the lul shel tarnagolim, the chicken coop is attached to the ground, and then we run to a question of binin and bona and soter. So I understand both are prohibited. So if I detach the door on Shabbos, I'm soter. If I reattach the door on Shabbos, I'm bona. So I understand. The lul shel tarnagolim, I can't detach the door. I can't reattach the door on Shabbos. He says, "Ela shel shita b'shel teva shel migdal mike sabar." But when it comes to the carriage, the trunk, and the closet, what does the Tana hold? Now here, the Tana mixes it. One thing he permits, and one thing he doesn't permit. He says that I'm allowed to detach it on Shabbos, but I can't reattach it on Shabbos. So he says, "Mike Savar, Ik Savar Yeshbin Bekalim Yeshtir Bekalim." So again, there's machloket whether there's binyan or stira bekalim. We usually hold there is no binyan and stira bekalim. But if this Tana holds that there is binyan and stira bekalim, so he says, so if he holds Yeshbin Bekalim, if he holds, I can't reattach it because there's such a thing as bona bekalim. So then Yeshtir Bekalim, then I shouldn't be able to detach it because there's also stira bekalim. The ain't stira bekalim. If he holds, there's no such thing as stira bekalim, so there's no problem removing the door. So he says, ain't binyan bekalim, then there should be no problem about reattaching it. So the point is that everything should rise and fall together. It shouldn't be mixing and matching with the keli. So Amar Abaye says, the olam sabra yesh binyan bekalim yesh stira bekalim. The Tana holds that there's binyan bekalim and stira bekalim. Vishenitlo ka'amar. And what the Tana means is if the door, not that you're allowed to detach the door, but somehow the door became detached, then you could use it, but not that you could reattach it. In other words, so again, so the Tana reads, it says, note linable among zero, it means if it became detached, I could use it, but I can't reattach it. So not that I'm allowed to detach it, but so it got detached somehow on Shabbos, but I could nevertheless use it. Amalei Rava, Rava says to Abaye, Sheitshu B'davar, I have two rebuttals, two questions that Teirutz. Chada D'nital and Katani, because the language of the Mishnah, the way the article corrected the Notlin Katani, not Nitalin. Mike Meyer has Nitalin. What do you have? Do you have Nitalin or Notlin? Does anybody
have Notlin? Notlin.
You have Notlin? Okay, so that sounds good. So Chada de Notlin Katani. The Brisa says, I'm allowed to detach it. Not that it became detached. I'm allowed to detach it. V'od my aval lo machzirin. Also, according to your pshat, it became detached, but then it should say ein machzirin. Aval lo machzirin means the first thing was permissible, not the second thing. The question is the word aval. He says, Elam Rabba. Rather, Rabba says, Ksavar ein bin bekinim estir bekinim. The Tana holds, there's no problem with binyan kalim, there's no problem with stira bekalim. So you should be allowed to detach it, reattach it. He says, but so why can he not reattach it? Ugzeira shema yitka. There's a rabbinic prohibition. We're afraid that he'll like formally attach it in a very secure way, and it'll be chayav for makke bepatish. So if you look at the Rashi, it's the third very wide line. Zer shemitka b'chazka, he'll like in a strong, in a very firm way. He says b'sakin v'yitedot. So I don't know the sakin with the knife, and the yitedot would be pegs. But like gemar malacha b'chayam shemakim patish. But it means he'll do it in a very very formal way, and then he can still be chayy for the malacha makim patish. Okay, now let's just wrap up the daf. We're six lines from the bottom. Notildam Kurnis Vahuli. We said a person's allowed to take a hammer and break open the nuts on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Kurnis Shela Gozim, Lipso Bo et Ha Gozim. So Rav Yehuda explains the Mishnah differently than the way I explained it. He says it means I could take a hammer which is designated to crack, or like a nutcracker in essence, a hammer which is designated to crack open nuts. That's what I could use. Aval Shel Napachim Lo. But if it's a smith's hammer, I'm not allowed to cut up, bring open the nuts. Ksavor, the Barshal Lachal Yisra, for the Sor Kufu Asur. Because he, Rabbi Yehuda, holds, and that's the way he says Pshat in the Mishnah, that if it's Klisham Lachal Yisra, you don't have a heter to use it in the Sor Kufu, and certainly not for Sorach Makomo. If the hammer's on the chair, we normally hold you can move it, and you want to sit in the chair, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that way, and he takes it, the Tana Mishnah doesn't hold that way either. So Amalei Rabba. So Rabba says to Rabbi Yehuda, Elamiata Sefer Diktani Bera Racha Bera Malgez Atedalav Lekatan. Now, most of the kalim you have in the Mishnah, you could touch it up that way. So the saw would be a saw which is designated to cut cheese. And each one, you could say, is designated for the uses which he's doing. But the last one doesn't make sense. The Rachat is the winnowing shovel, and the Malgez is the pitchfork to give over food for a katan. He says, Rachat umalgez mimiachti lekatan. Does a person ever take a winnowing shovel and designate it for use to give food to the katan? Does he ever take like a pitchfork and say, I'm designated for use for the katan? So they take a nut. Elam a rabba, rather, rabba says, Kurna shel napachin lefatzebo ha'egozim. That it means that the pshat is the way I had said it, that the Tana means you take a hammer, a smith's hammer, if you're using it to crack open nuts. Kesavar, the top line of Kufchaf Gimel Med Aleph, Davar, Shemlach Tal Yisr, Tzor Kufo Mutar, the way Rab is taking it, the Tana of the Mishnah holds, that Kli Shemlach Tal Yisr, you're allowed to use for Tzor Kufo and Tzor Makomo, and that's the way he learns the Mishnah. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did today? Okay, the learning was Leilu Neshama from Malka's father. What's his name again?
Nisim ben Sultana.
Yeah, Lilui Nisham for Nisim ben Sultana, Zechrono Levracha. All right, let me stop the recording. Let me do this. Okay.